Well, the changing world of technology and the internet is making a lot of changes in the world of tax preparation. It used to be that a company would look to where they did business and where their customers were doing business to determine what taxes they might owe. But what if you now do business in a state where you have no presence because you're doing business over the internet? That's changed the way you have to think about things. Tara Curran is Managing Director in the Tax Group, leader of the New England State and Local Tax Practice here at CBIZ. We're live at CBIZ in Boston. And this is a whole new thing. It used to be physical presence mattered. Now it's virtual presence.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, physical presence has always been the standard from a sales tax perspective. So if you have your people in a jurisdiction or your property in a jurisdiction, you can pretty much guarantee that you need to deal with sales tax compliance in that jurisdiction. But that wasn't the case from an income tax perspective. And historically, from an income tax perspective, you needed to do things more than mere solicitation if you were a product seller. And if you were a service provider, you generally needed to be physically present in that jurisdiction. So you needed to have your people there or your property there.
So in other words, if I was, because long before we had the internet, there could be a consulting firm, a law firm in Boston doing legal work for a company on the West Coast.
Right.
And for a lot of big cities, that's happened over the years.
Right. So the interesting thing now is, from an income tax perspective, what some estates are doing, and it's largely driven from some of the changes we've seen in the economy over a few years, as well as, you know, some of the challenges that we faced in the last 3 to 5 years, and I think we're coming out of that now. But a number of states have gone down a road where they're imposing economic presence. So they're essentially saying, you don't need to be physically present in my jurisdiction to have to file a tax return.
But this is what's so crazy. I think this is what is I think a lot of people have no idea that my income tax could be higher because I'm doing business with somebody across the country.
No, exactly. So, for example, California has a standard now that says, if you have $50,000 of property in my state, or $50,000 of payroll in my state, or $500,000 of revenue. And I think we can all understand that the property and the payroll likely causes an organization to have to file there. But it's the interesting concept is, okay, so if I have $500,000 of revenue, and that's been adjusted for inflation now, those are the starting numbers, that means I might have to file a tax return there, and I might actually have to give California a piece of my income. So it's a really interesting concept, and in fact, many states are doing it. You know, California did it a few years ago. Massachusetts has some similar standard. New York is going down this road. And so it's kind of a combination of what we're seeing called economic presence, i.e. you don't need to be physically there and you can have a tax liability. And some jurisdictions are even going further and defining what that level of presence is by putting numerical thresholds with it. And again, what a lot of states are using when they set these numerical thresholds are $50,000 of property, $50,000 of payroll, or $500,000 of revenue. So even seemingly an organization that might just be, you know, getting a drug approved or what have you, if they're growing quickly, some of these obligations can come up pretty quickly.
What's the legal status of this? I know that there was huge fights over internet taxing jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Some states doing it, some states not. Has anybody set a national standard? How does this fit in with interstate commerce and the rules that apply there?
It's a great question. And I guess what I'll say is there isn't a overriding federal standard as of yet. You know, there's certainly a number of bills that have been initiated in Congress. Most of them are around using the factor-based presence rule. So I think to the extent that we ultimately go down this road, I suspect that it will be some sort of federal standard. That being said, I think it's going to take us a lot of years to get there. There's a lot of case law on the issue. A lot of companies who are getting pulled into these jurisdictions are wanting to fight the fight, so to speak.
Sure. Now, I was reading a story about Dallas being the most business-friendly city now, and certainly Texas touts and other places do their low taxes on businesses. But what does this kind of taxation do, you know, if I could be in Dallas, but now I'm going to be subject to taxes someplace else?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think when jurisdictions reach out and they say, yes, we're a taxpayer-friendly jurisdiction because, it's usually because they have perhaps low property taxes, or perhaps their sales tax is fairly low, or perhaps they offer incentives. This is really a situation where a state, if they impose this sort of regime, kind of cuts against that, if you will, in that they're essentially trying to tax organizations who are not even physically there. So in the argument of, does this make a jurisdiction more taxpayer friendly? The likely answer to that question is no.
Tara Curran, this is a fascinating story. Thank you so very much. Income and economic nexus. What an interesting concept. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of that. First time for me, Tara Curran, thanks so much. Managing Director in the Tax Group, leader of the New England State and Local Tax Practice at CBIZ, where we are broadcasting live today, the Boston headquarters of this top 10 national accounting and tax provider. I'm Kathleen Hayes, along with Michael McKee on Bloomberg Radio.